Our scripture reading is from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 18. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Pastor Dave has been going through a series of sermons as he's been preaching on the book of Isaiah. And it's been great to look through that book completely, like chapter after chapter, and go through it and listen to how he explains it and how I myself haven't heard a lot of those things, because there's probably not too many of us that have went through a large book of the Old Testament like that. Isaiah is loaded with verses of prophecy and encouragement. We go to that when we talk about Christmas and different verses that like really are popular and it sound familiar. But the theme, that's what's going on here, is that when you're obedient to God and you follow the ways that He tells you how to live, it's clear that He blesses you. He blesses the people that are obedient. But when we are disobedient and we don't follow God, there's hopelessness and destruction, as we see in those people groups that are conquered by others. The people during the time of Isaiah only heard of a Savior coming. They didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have the information that we have. We get to read the whole Bible. We get to experience that Messiah, that Savior did come, was born, lived here, died, and rose again, as we celebrated last Sunday. Last Sunday is kind of like our pinnacle or high point in my life of the annual time when we get together, the spiritual highlight, Easter Sunday, the hope, the passion of He rose again. And if those of you are here or watching online, at the end of the song, He Arose, the confetti all over the church, the exuberance, the shouting, the hallelujah, the excitement of the Christian life. As we think about the despair of the crucifixion and the elation of the resurrection in just a weekend, a long weekend, and there we are again, getting so excited about what's happening because we have hope in Jesus. And so, as we remember what Jesus did on the cross and how He overcame death, and we're just like we're just high, spiritually high on that. And so, how do we keep that going? Now, after a week later, are we back to the old feelings? We just go through the motions? Or we think about Jesus, what he's done, and to continue and sustain that spirit of elation and joy. One of the other times of the year that I think about this anticipation to this spiritual annual holiday or event, other than Easter, is Christmas. I remember when I was a kid, of course, thinking of what I was going to get for Christmas, but knowing it's so much more than that now, but just that feeling of like celebration. Well, if we didn't have Christmas, we couldn't have Easter. We can't have one without the other. Without Christmas, there'd be no celebration that we did last weekend. Without Good Friday and Easter, there's going to be no forgiveness of our sins and no hope of our Savior when it's our time to leave this earth. And so, in Christmas, we celebrate the reincarnation of God taking on flesh and coming into this world. In Christmas, and then in Easter, we celebrate Jesus' resurrection from his death on the cross. Jesus was born on earth to die for our sins and to conquer both death so that we could live. It's a great message of hope to all of us, but celebrations are clear evidence of God's love for us. The theme of these two annual holidays is, of course, Jesus, but do we wait another year to be excited about God again like that last Sunday? Do we wait till Christmas, almost 8 months? Or do we take that with us day and day, now, and on in our life? That's one of the things that I wanted to talk about today, is that how do we go through life? How do we sustain that excitement of last Sunday? And so I want us to think about it for a couple minutes. I want us to think about what we go through on those days, how we build up our excitement and go through that. First, we anticipate the upcoming celebration of hope and eternal security. And then when we get to that day, we usually end up here in God's house for the worship service. And after that, we go home and celebrate with maybe a special meal. We have a special time with family and maybe sharing gifts and talking, fellowshipping. We have maybe some people over at our house that we usually don't have. And then after that, what happens? Some days go by, a week, maybe like today, a week from after Easter. And so how do we continue on with that passion, excitement, zeal, fervor that we had last Sunday? I want to look at part of that scripture that we just read, starting with verse 10 and thinking about 11 through 13. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Well, in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, God has given Paul 9 fruits of the Spirit. that he lists. Well, six of those are in those four short verses. And in verse 11 it says, never be lacking in zeal. Never? Really? It's hard to never be lacking in zeal. It's like a great goal to have. I mean, there's things that we have to do in life. There's challenges, there's distractions, there's trials, there's busyness, and on we go, afflictions, and all things with responsibilities we have to do. But I believe that Paul is not necessarily talking about that we have to be in church all the time and we have to be reaching out every second of every day. But I think he's talking about a state of mind that it's here, and it's here, and it's ready to be shared. And so having spiritual enthusiasm 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, yeah, we'd like to do that. But to be ready, to be excited to share Jesus at any time, not only to sustain it, but to help us to grow in the Spirit. And so how can we not only keep the faith, but consistently grow in our faith? When we're thinking about this, maintaining our zeal for Christ, a couple topics stood out as I prepared to speak on this goal in my life, and hopefully yours, that first, where are we at with God right now? What's our relationship with Christ? Taking a spiritual inventory of our lives on a regular basis, because we are sinners who live in a sinful world, we will not have this zeal and this perfect following of Jesus. We're not going to have that. And so we need to stay in contact with God. We need to have personal devotions. We need to have prayer time, quiet time, meditating on God's Word. We need to be here right now, at least weekly, maybe even more often with our brothers and sisters in Christ. But we ask the questions, am I backsliding? Am I distancing myself from God at times? Am I making excuses why I am that way? Am I upset or frustrated with the Lord? Why is my life not going the way that I want it to go? Are we in that state? Or maybe we're doing all right. We're here. God's good. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. But I got a lot of things to do. I don't really have lots of extra time. And so I don't really want to do much else. I'm good. I'm all set for eternity. So let's just take it as is and just say, no, I really don't want to take any more risks. I don't want to get involved anymore. Maybe we're at that point. Or maybe we are really growing. Maybe we're progressively increasing our love and commitment to Jesus and spending more time with Him and witnessing and praying for others and wanting to be more of a servant of Jesus. That's great. And willing to take risks and go out and be exposed. Maybe we're there. I know that as we look at those situations as examples, maybe we're in between some of those examples. I know for myself, I can be all over those at any time, moving around. I wish I could say I was doing exactly what God wanted me to do every minute of every time, but that's not the way it is. There's always something to do to improve our walk with Christ. So we are made in God's image. We don't have a lot of excuses, okay, to not live for God. We're loved with God's whole heart. And we're brothers and sisters here that can encourage us. When we fall down, we pray that some of us would be there to pick up that person, to encourage them, and vice versa. So we need to be constantly with our Savior, with our Shepherd. We need to spend time with Him consistently. And part of that is reading this book, the Bible. Okay? This is a way that God speaks to us. There's other ways too. And so, what does the Bible say when we read it? Do we just say, hey, I read a chapter today, I'm good. I'll do another chapter tomorrow or next week and do my duty and check the box? No, it's more than that. What does the text that we're reading, not necessarily today or what you might be going through, what does it really mean? Do some study. Look at a commentary. Come to Sunday school. I mean, those kind of things, like, okay, let's give it some time. And let's dig into it. And then, what does it mean to me personally? Where I'm at with God right now? These are the things that we need to do when we open up God's Word. And I'd like to turn to Colossians 3, 16 and 17, and read it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's another one of those ongoing goals that we'd like to stay true to. So are we consistently hungering and thirsting for righteousness in our lives that the Beatitudes talk about in Matthew 5? Are we striving to live for our Savior? And second, what's my purpose here? What am I doing? What's my intent, my aim, my focus? And we would say, as a follower of Christ, to know God and to make Him known, right? I mean, that's everybody knows that, right? Well, it's a great reminder and a great slogan. And we might quote part of the Great Commission and say, well, to make disciples of all nations, right, Mark? Yeah, okay. So once we've evaluated ourselves spiritually, as we just talked about a few minutes ago, where are we currently with Jesus as the King of our life? And we have the information here in the book, the Bible. So then what are our priorities? How do we have things in order? What's most important, preferred over other responsibilities in our life? Life is a challenge. There's always something to do, it seems like. It's a balancing act. Well, if I do this, then I can't do that. Or if I do this, then that's going to suffer. We have all these responsibilities that God gives us. Some are daily, some are weekly, monthly, even annually. I know for me in the last year, being retired, boy, that helps. Working a job for over 12 hours a day and the demand of that and the stress and taking the toll on myself and the family. And it's tough to open God's Word on a continual basis. It was so much harder then, and it's so much nicer now to spend time with my wife on a daily basis, open the Word, pray for all of you, and see what doors God opens. But you're not all retired. And so even though I don't have to go to work, There's so much work to be done for the Lord, though, too. And so we have responsibilities for providing for our family and by going to work and taking care of the house and other chores and jobs and projects we have, being a good steward of what God's given us, including our own health and well-being. If we don't take care of ourselves and we can't do these things, but being in constant contact with God, asking Him for wisdom to know and organize these priorities and responsibilities to serve Him is the best way to do life. And we're supposed to do it cheerfully, with a cheerful heart. That's asking a lot, isn't it? I mean, living my life for Jesus, trying to fulfill my purpose on this earth and cover all my bases is difficult. It's much easier said than done. I can tell you what you should do, but is it reality? Is it just like, just go do it? No, it's not like that. We have to be constantly thinking about it. But when others around us see what our priorities are, if they are the priorities that God wants us to have, we're going to attract some attention from the people around us. Why do you do what you do, they'll say. And what are we going to do with that? What are we going to do when we try to put the priorities that Jesus gave us to live that are different from the world's priorities, and someone comes along and sees that, and they might even not even talk to you, they might look, wow, that's pretty neat. They're helping those people over there. Why are they doing that? Don't they have other things to do? So when we attract attention from others and we practice the fruits of the Spirit to the world around us, and we know our purpose and the opportunity presents ourselves to share the love of God with someone else, will we do it? Will we tell them about Jesus or help them with a physical need or give them money if they're needy or bring a meal over or pray with them or just go home and pray for them? And the third point, do something about it. Be proactive in living for Jesus. Follow through with the purpose God's given us in this life. Apply ourselves. It's going to be different for us, okay? James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word, but do what it says. We can't do it if we don't know it. We can't know it if we don't read it. And so it's a constant thing. We're never going to get to a point like, I know it all. Not going to happen. That's why we need to be here. We need to be doing things. So let's get out of these four walls and do it. When we go home, let's get out of the four walls of our homes and do it. There's someone that lives right there. And there's someone that lives right there. Do they know the Lord? Could we help them? I would think we probably could. And so, sometimes I hear, but Mark, I can't talk to people like you do, or I'm nervous, and, well, I'm nervous here right now. But I'm trying my best, and God's hopefully working, and He's blessing me in the midst of all, preparing for this and going through this, and He blesses us. And it might not have to be like, well, I don't do that because I'm nervous, I don't want to talk to people. Then you can do all kinds of other things. You can go and help people. You can pray for them. You can bring things over. You can share the resources God's given you. Everyone that's here, I want you to think about something. Is there someone that you know anyone that doesn't know the Lord as their Savior of their life and accepted Jesus in their heart. Do you know anyone? Can you raise your hand? Is there anyone that you know of that does that needs the Lord? Well, that's just about everybody. Living the life of a Christian has unlimited job security as a messenger of Jesus. There's always something. There's always someone to do. So we need to be ready. We need to recognize opportunities that come in front of us at home, in our family, in our church family, our neighbors, the community, at our jobs, at school, at the grocery store, out in public, anywhere. The Lord blessed me with a job in this small town community for over 30 years, knocking on doors, dropping off packages, and little did I know, 36 years ago, I think, when I prayed that God would answer my prayer of getting a job, a summer job that would maybe turn into be a career. And here I am standing after the career is over and retired and reflecting on that answer and thinking how fortunate I was to be able to knock on doors. Well, he had more in it than just packages. He was able to get to know people over the years, get to be a household name, get to be trusted with keys to half the town and all that. And there's opportunities to share Christ in those kinds of things too. When you walk up and deliver a package and you just say, "Hey, how you doing? Hope you're doing well. Have a good day." And just a pleasant greeting and hear the same back. I can't sit there and talk. I would like to, but I get in trouble when I do because I'm timed all the time, and I'm so glad I don't have to do that anymore. But it's like there's an opportunity. Every once in a while, someone would say, as I would say, "How you doing today?" I'd walk up there. "I'm not doing well. I'm having a hard day." And I would say, "Oh, okay, well, sorry to hear that. I'll pray for you." And just keep walking, getting back to my truck. I'm like, "What? Pray?" I'm like, "Yeah, see you later. Gotta go." 2 weeks later, I'd come back with another delivery. "How you doing? I've been praying for you." "Oh, yeah," they'd say. "How you doing?" "Oh, I'm doing better." "Oh, okay, great. I'm glad. See you later. Bye." Is that going to go anywhere? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But just those kinds of interactions with people to just plant a seed. And if you're rejected, you're rejected, okay? And the opportunities of jail ministry and reaching out to people over the years has just been a great blessing. And when I help people that I don't have in common things like addictions and being in jail and stuff, but sometimes you help people that have been through that, and then you're like, "I don't know about you, Mark. You don't know what I'm going through, but that guy that you helped, I'll listen to him." And they'll go to him and say, "How did you do it?" And he'll just say, "Jesus Christ." "What? Well, maybe I should try that." So there's so many different things. And so reaching out to others blesses us. And it's just like when we reach out to others, we're obedient to the word. Okay? And when we are thinking of others and obedient to Christ, Christ blesses us. When he blesses us, we feel encouraged. When we feel encouraged, we become, at least for me, I know, I become excited. It's like, whoa, God's working. When we become excited, we become passionate. When we become passionate, we become effective. Oh, yeah, this is great. Now that I'm being passionate and I'm being more effective, I can't get enough of this. And our journey of faith with God grows, and we're more apt to fulfill the purpose that God gives us in this life. And when we become passionate and excited about God in our lives, he reminds us of last Sunday. That party spirit, that, yeah, that's what it's about. So what is God doing in our lives? It reminds me of what we went through. last Sunday, and it reminds me to stay that way and try my best too. It's that good news that we should spread to everyone. So in conclusion, how do we maintain that zeal for Christ? Consistently spend personal time with God, fulfill the purpose God has for our lives, practically reach out to the world with God's love. By maintaining our zeal for Christ, that will help us to keep growing in our faith and our commitment to living for God. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this time. Thanks for those who have been listening, and thanks for those that are listening here in the sanctuary and online and in their homes. I just pray, Lord, that we would not only hear the word, but that we would do it, that we would reach out to those opportunities when they present themselves, that we'd be ready to share your love. Lord, we think about the many times in your word that you tell us to do this. It's not anything new. It's a reminder of what to do, Lord. And so, as King David shared in Psalms, I believe it's 51, he said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." Pray, Lord, that you would sustain us with the joy of your salvation, and that we would have a willing spirit to live for you. Kindle that fire inside of me, Lord, and of my brothers and sisters here, and those that are at home, and make it glow as a light for you, and to be ready to serve you and follow the will you have for our lives. In your name, amen.